Secure Trust is a division of TrustWave. Secure Trust delivers world-class security, privacy, risk, and compliance assessment services for the enterprise market, as well as merchant risk management programs and solutions for merchant program sponsors around the globe. Secure Trust is committed to addressing security, risk, and data privacy customer challenges while building upon our foundation as a payment card industry pioneer, qualified security assessor company, approved scanning vendor, and trusted digital certificate authority. For more information, please visit www.securetrust.com.
Welcome to Privacy Elements by Secure Trust. My name is Jason Leichert, and I'm a managing consultant here at Secure Trust. With me today is Chris Brown.
Hello, my name is Chris Brown. I'm product manager for Secure Trust, and my charge is to assess and understand client demands relative to Secure Trust mission and develop products to meet those demands.
And also with us on this podcast is Michael Webster.
Hello, I am Michael Webster, for sure. I am a managing consultant here at Secure Trust, focused on governance, risk, compliance, and privacy, and information security. I am a certified information privacy practitioner, and I'm glad to be here with you.
All right. Thanks for the introductions. Let's move on and talk about the subject, data privacy. All right, so let's kind of talk a little bit about privacy. And really what we're trying to get to is, why should you care? You know, so Michael, if you could, why should clients really care about data privacy, or prospective clients, or really anybody? What's the big deal about privacy right now? What makes it more prevalent than it has been in the past?
Well, what's driving privacy now is essentially laws and regulations that are the response to private information of individuals throughout the world getting into the wild and causing individuals damage to credit, their reputation, their finances, and things of that nature. And so with these laws come quite a bit of responsibility for organizations. If you look at the cyberspace, information security has been maturing over years, but privacy is really just now becoming important because what we're focused on is the data. And so there are a number of things that organizations need to pay attention to for some obvious reasons and some not so obvious. So for example, organizations need to gain traction on these laws and these regulations. You don't want to be late to the game. You don't want to take too much time because these laws are changing almost on a weekly basis based on lawsuits that are being filed. So if you wait too long, you won't be able to catch up. Another obvious one is fines. There are significant fines with some of these laws, in particular GDPR, CCPA, some other laws in Massachusetts, New York. And unfortunately, there's no real way to avoid it because those three or four states comprise about 40 or 50% of the economic output of the United States. And so, you know, if you're in business, you're probably doing business with somebody's or one of these, you know, jurisdictions that you will have to comply with. Brand protection, for example. You don't want to be known as the organization where all the data was released into the wild. You want to get a jump on this activity so that you can protect these assets. And so those are probably the most important reasons, but I'm sure there are others that we could, talk through.
No, great. And I think if for a lot of organizations that are out there, the first thing they're looking at is the risk of litigation, the risk of fines, right? And I think there's probably, from an organizational level, too much focus on that, right? And you know, maybe Chris, you might have an opinion, but what about the human element? Isn't privacy really less about the risk to an organization and more about the risk to the consumer?
I'd say they're perfectly intertwined. When I consider how and why I care about privacy, I would kind of put all those same reasons into the first bucket: litigation, fines, reputations. Those are the rules. Those are statutory requirements. If you hold that data, then you're responsible for protecting that data. I would also say that, you know, it's not just about being a risk-averse employee that wants to follow the rules. I also consider it from a human perspective, and it being just kind of like the golden rule. I am responsible for designing systems that impact other human beings, and therefore I should design systems and implement them in a way that I would want to be treated. So if I, you know, it's not so much that these are features that you can choose to offer or not. These are protections that are required because you're responsible for holding the data. But I also think it's important to consider, how would I want to be tracked? How would I want to be monitored? How would I consider my data to be treated and protected? Do I want it to be sold? So privacy is being able to speak freely as if no one's listening as well, and really consider, how would I want my data to be treated?
So almost like the golden rule, right? Treat others as you want to be treated. And maybe that's a human consideration when it comes to data privacy, and I'll say a common sense approach to protecting consumer data.
Absolutely.
And Michael, you know, what's your opinion on that? You know, are organizations focused in the wrong direction with privacy? Are they focused more about themselves? Are they too focused on consumer privacy? Have you seen any type of issues with trying to balance that out? Right. You know, like Chris said, it's intertwined. But do you think that organizations are skewing one way or the other?
I think organizations, and this is just, you know, my personal opinion from the few organizations that I deal with, they are skewed internally because that's where the focus is, right? And there's this sort of piggyback effect of the privacy part of the organization with the information security part. And information security has always been focused inward. Protection from outside, focused inward. And so with privacy, you know, there's sort of this sort of three-legged bar stool with regard to what you should be focusing on, right? It should be the data itself. But not only is it, you know, customer data, there's business partner data, and then there's employee data. And so there needs to be a balance in the sense that protecting the data has always been the issue. We're not doing information security for the sake of doing it. We're doing information security because we want to protect the data. So now this data, what's important, has been defined, right? There's personal information or personal identifiable information, and that can be defined in a bunch of different ways depending on where you are. There's sensitive data. There's corporate data. There's employee data, right? There's, competitive data. Essentially, we're trying to protect the data. If you get some ransomware, you know, your data is protected by somebody else, and you don't get it back unless you pay for it. So that's what we're trying to do. But yes, there needs to be balance in terms of focusing on the different data sources, businesses, customers, employees, but using information security as a tool to make sure that those data points are protected, prioritized, and the, you know, proper amount of attention and resources is put where it needs to be.
And finding that priority and doing some type of risk analysis is probably a good way for businesses to start, right? Where they sit down and look at the risks to the organization, Yes. They look at the risks to the consumer, try to balance out, do they really need this data or not, right? Because I know there's thousands of businesses that have different personally identifiable information around their organization, right? They have all these different elements, and they need to prioritize and remediate as appropriate and try to find that balance. Do you think there's a good place for an organization to start?
Oh, yes. And, you know, what you'll discover as you read through some of these laws and regulations is that in some cases, doing a data privacy risk assessment is actually required, right? And so, you know, we'll talk about this later in other podcasts, but perhaps those first two things is what data do you have, right? So, you know, mapping that data is going to be extremely important. And then running a risk assessment on those data points, you know, so that there can be some focus. Back to your earlier point, you don't just want to take the shotgun approach to dealing with this. You want to focus your efforts. Organizations have limited staff, limited resources. And so you want to put your resources, your human and monetary resources, where they can do the most good. And there's no way to better to do that than having figured out what do I have, and then, you know, quantifying the risk to each data point.
And there's obviously going to be risk, right? Businesses can't operate without risk. And so they've got to find that methodology to remediate and reduce their risk to whatever their risk tolerance is, whatever their risk threshold is. But would you say it's a fair point that there's obviously, you know, if you look at the state of like California, there's millions of citizens, right? There's millions of people who fall under scope for CCPA, right? But I think, and I was doing some reading late last week that talked about how basically a lot of consumers, they're just clicking OK, they're clicking accept cookies. They aren't that concerned about their data privacy. Obviously, there are also thousands, if not millions, of people who are concerned about it and do read through the privacy notices. But there are some studies that are coming out recently that say people are just kind of clicking through. Right? They have blinders on, just kind of clicking through. So with that, is that, do you think that's part of what this regulation is about, is to kind of take some of the burden off of the consumer and put it onto the business to protect people? Or is there still that shared responsibility?
There is a shared responsibility, but I think before you can get there, I think really there's an awareness that must be developed. And again, I just go back to my own personal experience. You know, we've always been data protection focused, you know, been in this industry for a while. And that's basically what everybody, you know, protect the environment. What's the environment, the systems, what's really important about the systems, the data on the systems, even if it's just an operating system, right? You're trying to protect it, these files, so that, you know, things keep working the way they were intended. But now with privacy, you know, exploding, should be an awareness, not just with the organization, but with the individual. And so I think if you look at ourselves, you know, being practitioners, privacy practitioners, you know, and in some cases, you know, certified practitioners, we are at a place where we have a better awareness. And I know personally myself, I was one of those people that just kind of clicked through and really didn't pay attention. Oh, this isn't really that important. But once I went through that deep training and that awareness, my outlook on that changed. And so there's an education piece here that's going to happen organically over time. First, intentionally and on purpose, because organizations are not going to do what they need to do, and they're going to get breached in some way, and the data will get out in the wild. It will be publicized, and then they will have to go off and do something, you know, and be charged with, you know, some task by some government agency, a la Google, you know, Apple, you know, so forth and so on. And we could, you know, just list a whole cache of companies that have had this experience. But ultimately, I think the responsibility is in both places. You know, business to business, that relationship, there must be an awareness. There must be an internal awareness, and there must be awareness of individuals that protecting your data is important, simply because if it gets out there, people can steal your identity, which is a big thing. People can, you know, take funds out of your account, which is pretty important. And you can spend a lot of money, a lot of time, and a lot of legal resources trying to get your identity back to where it should have been to begin with. So, it's a responsibility that I think everyone must take on at this point.
And that really spoke to me, right? You know, thinking about it contextually as a consumer, the thing that's really stuck out to me the last couple of years is that, you know, if I look at CCPA or GDPR or other regulations that are out there, you know, we have these inherent rights, right? These human rights, these individual rights, you know, right to be forgotten, maybe the right to rectification, whatever it might be, right? And I've realized, what's more important to me? When I distill it down to what's important to me, you know, why are most businesses keeping my data? Obviously, they want to use it for some type of profit potentially, right? Sometimes they might have it for some type of contractual reason. But for me as the consumer, I look at this data of what I'm sharing, and I realize that the most that impacts me, and I'm going to keep it simple, right, is customized products and services for businesses for advertising, right? Hey, we saw that you bought Charmin toilet paper or you bought XYZ product. Here's other products like that, right? And some of that's obviously based on my information and my demographics. But is that more important to me to have that provided to me to make things simpler? Or is it more important that I don't have I have a reduced risk of, like you said, identity theft or somebody being able to access my banking accounts or impersonate me or whatever it might be. That's how I'm distilling it down to, like, where I need to be aware, right? How is my data being used and can I stop it, right? Can I keep you from sharing it with others, right? And that's me keeping it simple for myself. Well,
exactly. And I think the key here, which is actually part of almost every, privacy law and regulation is choice, right? Every person is going to come at this from a different place for the most part, or there'll be categories, if you will. Some people will care about, you know, privacy simply because they feel that companies and definitely government should know so much about them. Right. So they want to control that. There's going to be choice. There is choice. Companies have to provide that choice of what to do. Tell me what you have. Delete this, you know, correct this. Right. Don't track. There's a lot of I shouldn't say a lot, but there are a number of mechanisms to help individuals make decisions about what data, what information a particular organization has on them. So in that sense, I think it's a good thing that, you know, wherever you're coming from in terms of your concern about privacy, whether, you know, you want these, you know, your products to be specifically focused on what you care about, that might be you. And on the other end of the spectrum is the person that, you know, hey, I just want to buy X or CY, and I don't want you to know anything about me, right? To some degree, you will have the choice to make that happen. And I think as that part of the privacy space matures, you know, the preference, what is called preference management, where you're managing your privacy preferences and what is kept on you and what is actually tracked on you and so forth and so on, I think we'll be able to get there, but it's going to be a long road because, as you know, in the United States, we are sectoral based in terms of our privacy. You know, there's privacy for healthcare, there's privacy for the states, there's, you know, privacy laws and regs that are, you know, for the most part, different in, you know, in every state. So it's going to take a while to get there. The federal government is starting to pay attention and, you know, we'll just have to see how that develops over time.
No, and you're right. I mean, I think with COVID-19 and, you know, different, you know, applications, maybe on Android or iPhone or whatever operating system, you know, they want to share data for public health concerns, right? Contact tracing, things like that, you know, alert you when you're in an area where there's been, you know, a substantial amount of potential cases. There's a lot of privacy risk with that, right? If that data is not anonymized in some shape or fashion to actually protect the individual, because that could be misused. But, you know, without that governance, for lack of a better term, right, from the federal government, you know, we're going to have to continue to deal with the fact that multiple states are going to have different regulations and laws to protect data privacy. Because, you know, to kind of circle it back from a few minutes ago, there is that shared responsibility. And what I like about these regulations is that, you know, while the burden is shared, it encourages businesses to operate more ethically, right? And by you know, they're notifying you of your rights, and they're notifying you of what data they have. So, you know, you as the consumer, you're obligated, well, you should be aware of what your rights are, and you need to express them where appropriate. And that burden is, you know, the other half of that burden is shared by the organization, the company, the entity that has your data to comply with your request. Right. And I think we're still going to going to see a permutations of that as privacy law moves from state to state and then ultimately federal.
Yes. And, you know, that is the point, right? If the organization is not compliant with the privacy law, or, you know, the character of the organization, the culture of the organization is not in practice with privacy, as an individual, I don't even get the right that I'm owed, right? So, you know, the state or the jurisdiction that I'm in says I have these rights. But if the organization that I'm involved with from a, you know, data perspective, you know, or product, you know, purchase or whatever the case may be, is not doing what the law says, they've taken my rights away, you know? And so, you know, I need to have that option. And therein lies the bigger issue, right? In some states, California in particular, if you don't comply as an individual, I have a right to sue, right? And we kind of know how, you know, these lawsuits work. Usually, you know, if you get one person, you can find 1,000, and you'll see all of these class action lawsuits being launched on behalf of, you know, hundreds and thousands of citizens. And that can be a tough, you know, issue to deal with for an organization, not just from a privacy perspective, but now you have to defend, you know, the lawsuit. You know, takes time, costs money, you know, it's disruptive, and you're still having to deal with the privacy. And there are organizations that are watching this, you know, out there. For example, Federal Trade Commission is looking at these things, and people can, you know, whistleblow on you. So you won't be able to hide, you know, as time goes on. And so, you know, going back to the original point of why you should care, you know, I think is because, you know, there's no real savings in not doing privacy. Eventually it catches up with you, and you want to be a good steward of your customers' data, of your business partners' data, right? And you want to have a good reputation so that you can continue to grow your business. And if, you know, you are always being tagged in the industry or in the media as someone who is not a good steward of consumer data and not a good steward of partners' data, then you're probably on your way out of business.
Because like you said, right, you can't hide. And for those organizations that are, you know, we'll say operating with less than a stellar record and not taking privacy seriously, sooner or later it's going to catch up to you, right? So you might feel like you're saving in an investment now by trying to get involved with data privacy and implement a data privacy, you know, program. But ultimately, there's going to be something that happens,
right?
You're not going to respond to requests.
Right.
You're not going to have a privacy notice. You're not going to be complying with the law. It's going to be noticeable, and it will come back and bite you, right? So there are those risks. That the risk avoidance doesn't really necessarily work when it comes to data privacy law.
Exactly. And as time goes on, it's going to get worse simply because more laws will come online and there will be more enforcement of these laws, right? As they mature, there's an expectation, you know, and typically, you know, states will go after the big players first. And as that matures and they get a handle on that, you know, both, you know, customers and attorney generals of various states who are typically going to be the enforcement arm for these laws, they will press forward. And, you know, I think everybody will be affected in some way as time goes on. So, you know, caring now says you get to, you know, mature in the space of privacy protection for your partners and for your customers. And that's really where you want to be. So getting involved now, and I know that the counter argument of that is, oh, this new thing, you know, we went through the same maturity, you know, curve with info security, right? There wasn't a lot of practitioners. People didn't know everything they could do. And it took time to grow there. Same thing's going to happen with privacy. And so, you know, in the short term, yeah, you might have to go outside to get some individual consulting to help you get to a base, you know, where your basics are covered while you train and grow your organization internally to be able to deal with it. But you can't wait and just sit around and hope that it's going to solve itself. And by the same token, there's this sort of thinking out there that, well, as long as I have good information security, I have, you know, good privacy protection. And that's not true at all, because your systems could be designed to give away data, you know, in a very particular way. And so information security historically has not been tied directly to data privacy. They've always been connected, but not specifically so down to a specific data point. And so, you know, as you said earlier, understanding, you know, what you have, why do you even have it, do you need to keep it, is much different than saying, you know, I'm protecting. And once, you know, a bad actor is inside a network, you know, they usually have more access to things than you would normally think of. And so making sure that what you have is what you need, and you're getting rid of stuff that you don't need, and that you know everything you have and where this data is so that you can protect it, is probably the best way forward.
No, and that's a great point. I think, you know, many of those topics we're going to continue to cover and go more in depth throughout this podcast series, right? And we'll talk about those strategies and data mapping and, you know, how customers and how citizens should be looking at this, and also from the business perspective, right? So, I mean, it really comes down to, why should you care, right? You know, we're all humans. We want to operate ethically, and we need the businesses to consent and support our rights to protect our data and do with it the way that we choose, right? How it's disposed of or who it's shared with. But I definitely want to thank Chris and Michael for being on the podcast. Definitely appreciate all these different perspectives, all this information. You know, this podcast was about, you know, why should you care, right? Why is sharing caring? In the next episode, we're going to talk more about regulations and get a little bit more in depth on CCPA and how it can impact the consumer. Chris Sounds and Michael, good. Thank you both.
Appreciate it. You're welcome, and glad to be here.
Yes, thanks for the time.
SecureTrust will not offer any legal guidance or counseling. The views and opinions expressed during this podcast are those of the authors and presenters and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of TrustWave or SecureTrust.